Welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining my talk. My name is Christian Krivic. I'm an engineer at CoreLite, where I'm part of the open source team and work full-time on the Zeek network monitor. Let's get started and let me share my screen. So today I'm going to be talking about Community ID, which is a standardized approach for flow hashing across your network security monitoring toolchain. Let me spend a couple of minutes motivating the problem. So if you've ever used Suricata, you might be familiar with the kinds of logs it produces. And here on the left-hand side, we have a snippet of its Eve log that captures an alert that it flagged. And on the right-hand side, we have a bit of HTTP logging that it is also capable of producing. And if you want to later on correlate some of the activity in those logs, it's really easy because Suricata flags every flow that it encounters with a unique flow identifier. In Suricata's case, it looks numeric, and you can see in those two snippets that the identifier is the same, so you know it's referring to the same kind of flow. So that makes correlation really easy, and that is cool. If you move on to Zeek, which you might know from its logs, on the left-hand side here, we have a connection log, and on the right-hand side, we have an HTTP log, then the same holds. Zeek also puts a unique identifier for every connection, for every flow it encounters in the traffic into its logs, making correlation really simple. So here the actual identifier looks a little differently because Zeek computes it differently, but the usability is the same. You can easily correlate across those flows, and that is also cool. Now, if you start working with both of those systems, and if you're a practitioner, you might know that that is a very common setting, then you'll notice that you have a problem because those identifiers are computed differently, and so they no longer match. And so as a workaround, you would basically have to identify in each of those logs how exactly a flow tuple is expressed, including all of the various little idiosyncrasies, and then basically abstract from that and come up with your own way for implementing the comparison and make sure that you don't care about directionality and so forth and identify things the same way. And that is really not so great to work with. So I think you can see where I'm going with this. We have good news for you. There is a better way to do this, and it is called Community ID. So Community ID is a standardized algorithm, really simple, for hashing flow tuples in multiple different network security monitoring applications. Let me spend a couple of minutes to explain how that works. It is intentionally really simple, almost embarrassingly simple. The result of that algorithm is just a string. It consists initially of a version string. Right now there is only a version one, so that part is only ever the number one, followed by a colon, followed by the actual computed hash. And that takes two parts as input. The first is a seed. The seed value is there so that in case you're facing multiple networks and you want to ensure that community ID values that you compute in both of those settings can never collide, then you can use different seed values in those two settings and rule out that possibility. Then the next part of the input is just a five tuple that is constructed sort of from what you would expect, namely the actual source destination IP port and transport protocol. And if you look at the spec on our website, it spells out in quite a bit of detail how exactly you need to serialize, render, that five tuple into the hashing algorithm. The hashing algorithm itself is SHA-1, which is really sort of the most basic thing available. We did that intentionally. It was the simplest thing to use that is in lots of crypto libraries, standard libraries, and so forth. So really one of the most accessible options. And in order to compress down the rendered hash result, we just run it through Base64 to make sure that the string itself becomes a little bit more manageable because it's just a little bit shorter. So that is just sort of a visual compression, if you will. And that's really it. So this is incredibly straightforward. And let me show you how that looks in practice. So we're going back to the same log snippets that I showed earlier. You have the Zeek log on the left and the Suricata log on the right with those flow tuples that the systems natively produce, but that don't quite match. And now if you enable community support in both of those systems, then you get an extra entry in those logs community ID, and you see immediately that those strings match. And so the correlation task is trivial. It's just a string search and comparison. And you know you're now looking at entries for the same flow. And that is super awesome. All right. So let me expand on a couple of the standard use cases. Some of I've already sort of touched on, but the most common one is probably really that you have multiple different applications installed in your network that are all producing logs where you would like to simplify for flow correlation. And you can do that by basically enabling community ID so that those strings get produced automatically. You can also use it for sync correlation. So if your sim ingests all those logs, then the correlation task is really much simpler because now in your sim, you just need to do string comparison, which you know is easily supported. Another application that is sort of, you know, perhaps a little obvious, but that, you know, is also worth flagging is that if you have multiple installations of the same system in different places, then you can intentionally configure them such so that community string computations always match. You could potentially use, you know, the native algorithms that the systems provide for this as well. But if you get used to using community ID, then in a way you're more sort of, you know, future-proof, because if you then embrace its use in other applications, then you don't need to change your implementation. You can just continue to use the same string comparisons. There are other sort of more funky applications. The next one here was flagged to us by folks at ESNet. Thanks. That was actually pretty cool. They face a lot of asymmetric routing. So they see one direction of a flow go in one place and the other direction in another place in their network. But since the community ID algorithm is not sensitive to directionality of the traffic, the resulting hash values are the same. And so you can still use community ID in those cases to identify the fact that the same flow was present in those two locations. That's kind of funky and not something that we anticipated originally. And then of course, you are not required to apply community ID at the point of log generation. You don't have to use that in Suricata and Zeek and so forth. You can create those strings in post-production, if you will. Like you could ingest the logs and then create those strings for future comparison purposes, which is, you know, just as feasible. There's nothing that requires that algorithm to run as traffic is observed. So these are just a couple of examples that I hope you find sort of useful. The current status, so the spec, reference implementations, reference data, if you want to come up with your own implementations and verify that the algorithms are correct. And just sort of a snapshot of the current status of support across different systems and languages is always on our GitHub page. This is just github.com/corelight-community-id-spec. And let me highlight a couple things. So in terms of language support right now, if you have a system that is written in C, in Golang, Java, Python, Ruby, then adding support is really easy because there are reusable libraries or packages available for those languages that you can just drop in and start using it. And in particular for Python, for example, there's also a command line client that you can plug, you know, a flow tuple into and obtain the community ID string. So you're not forced to see that in traffic first. You can just also synthesize those strings. And verify them that way. So pretty good basis at this point for a lot of systems. I'll flag a couple of sort of the behemoths in the ecosystem. Suricata has supported community ID since 4.1, is one of the first to support it. Wireshark supports it as well, though that is a little bit more recent. This is as of version 3.4, or if you use development builds, I think it was in 3.3.2, if I remember correctly. And for Zeek, there's a package for its package manager, ZKG, that is compatible with any Zeek version as of 2.5 and newer, and that is really basically covering anything that you should realistically be using at the moment. That is not all. If you go to that GitHub page, you'll see what other sort of systems out there have added support. This is a snapshot that I think is complete as of today. Thank you to anybody who's been involved in adding support to these systems. It's really heartening. It is really exciting to see. And you can see that, you know, like if you're at all invested in any of these systems, you can really sort of just like flip the switch and start using community ID, and it will pretty much be supported across a lot of your infrastructure in open source. Now, I might hear you say, no, this is so simple. This is almost stupid. You forgot so many things. What about Right. Let me address a couple of the concerns you might have. So first of all, yes, exactly. This thing is not feature complete. That V1 was very intentionally sort of targeting just ease of implementation and getting a bit of feedback. There is a whole bunch of stuff that we might add for a version 2. And one that I think would be really nice to have is basically an ability to make that algorithm configurable in terms of its inputs and outputs. So for example, in this example shown here, like you might want to say, well, in this particular installation, we have included VLANs, Q&Q, or other sort of like link layer headers as part of the hashing algorithm. We did not use SHA-1, we used SHA-256, or we just ditched base encoding altogether. And one idea for this would be that, like, in addition to that version number at the very beginning of the string, we also include like really short sort of basically config strings that just via a couple of letters capture how the algorithm was configured so that you can see that in the string itself and ensure that you're comparing apples to apples, basically. Another thing that often is mentioned is performance versus collisions. So clearly there is a potential here for things to be too slow, say. Like you might say that, okay, SHA-1 is clearly not one of the fastest hashing algorithms out there. You might want to use like Murmur-2 or what have you. And that is true. That might well be true. But it was not clear to us from the outset that performance is such a critical concern that we adopt something sort of less commonly known just to squeeze out extra performance. Collisions, likewise, like it's clear that, you know, for two flows that we're seeing sort of far apart in time, or that were actually present in different parts of the network were semantically actually different flows, you would get collisions. Again, not quite clear that it is big enough a problem to warrant implementing something more complex. We've so far not really heard feedback that this has been prohibitive for anybody. If that is you, if you do find this is barely usable because of such concerns, then let us know and we can reflect that in future implementations. And I just mentioned time, and that is sort of a fun one because intuitively many people say like, well, but the time is not in that hash. So if I encounter the same flow tuple, you know, an hour apart, then the hash will be the same. And indeed it would be right now. And we were kind of treading carefully here because if you do relatively straightforward approaches, like, you know, you round the timestamp to some interval, like an hour, a minute, whatever it might be, then you also introduce a risk that different monitors compute that hash value a little bit differently because, you know, the clock in one is just before the end of that window, the other one is just after that window, you get different results and so forth. So I think this is sort of, an interesting area for a clever algorithm that incorporates time, but sort of in a robust fashion. And if you have ideas for how to do this, we've honestly not spent too much time thinking about this, then let's hear it. That would be a really welcome contribution. Other base encodings is sort of one that is dear to my heart because I feel that the choice of base64 was sort of, you know, like, again, sort of the obvious one, but actually not that great in that the output is sometimes a little ugly, you know, base64 and those strings, you know, have lots of sort of funky characters in them. And we've heard some reports that at least in some scenes, you have to sort of go out of your way because some of those characters are considered special and therefore make the use of that string sort of more difficult than it needs to be. And so the obvious contenders would be like base62 or base58, even depending on like how many sort of characters you want to rule out. I personally think that base62 would be sufficient and sort of addresses that problem. But basically this is another tension sort of length versus sort of parsability. And finally, there is sort of anonymity versus reversibility. It is fact that right now the produced community ID strings are not reversible. You cannot go back to the original flow tuple just knowing the hash. And you know, if you still sit on the logs that include the community ID, you can locate it and then look up what that flow was, but you cannot do that just based on the string itself. Now, for a lot of use cases, that is perfectly sufficient because you are only ever gonna look for string comparison or because you, you know, want to ask your buddies, hey, like, hey, this flow was nasty, it delivered some payload. Have you seen this too? But it is completely true that in other settings, you might want this to be reversible. And that is not something that is currently addressed by community ID. Like you could maybe just come up with a standard for writing out a flow tuple in a way that is not sensitive to directionality or some such, but it's sort of out of scope right now. All right, so with that, I'm done. That's all I had. Thank you so much. Again, if you want to check out the spec, the status of current implementations, or just send some feedback, create some bug reports, whatever it might be, then go to our GitHub page. We welcome all of your feedback. If you are tempted to add support to an existing system or support for a new language, let us know too. Like, it's always good to tell people ahead of time so that you don't waste time and effort. But thank you so much. Thank you so much to everybody who has already contributed to it or added it to some system. I really look forward to your questions, and I'll see you in a couple of minutes. Thank you, guys.